Blog Talk Radio.
Tempered steel, glowing red, the bed of coals, the poet is born. Our story is riddled with challenges and changes, like blows from a blacksmith's hammer, bent and chiseled into shape. If only forging a poet were that easy. Emotional development, relationship, experiences, environment, genetics, all take hand in molding the immature adult we are today. That was a joke. Come on, we're on the air.
So welcome to the Double Helix, where we examine the X's and Y's on a show celebrating the human experience, where your true colors are what ties the room together. So get comfortable, because what you're about to hear is poetry that we are made of.
I'm the Duke of St. Paul, Dexter Bailey.
And I'm Aphasiana. We will be featuring poems from our contest on the website allpoetry.com. We are part of a group on the website called Late Night Poets. If you are in the group, you can follow along the chat to read the poems as we do for the full experience. However, you do not need to be in the group to contribute poems, call in, or listen.
Thank you, Fill My Eyes from Late Night Poets, and thank you, Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Dexter, for hosting with me, and to everyone who contributed poems or calls in. Your writing is what we are here for.
Good evening, everybody out there in poetry land, and in the late night poets in particular. I'm glad that you could join us here this evening for another fantastic night of poetry. This is part two night. Celebrating and bringing the fifth annual Autism Awareness Show. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Aphasiana. How are you, Aphasiana?
I'm tired, but doing well. How are you?
Same. I kind of had a little bit of a crazy week. Just kind of slid in here a little bit later here this evening. But I'm excited for the show. And I believe Pam is with us. Is Phil with us too as well?
I only see Pam in the studio, but Phil's on the
okay.
board.
Thank you, Phil, for being on the board.
Hi, Faziana. Hi, Dexter. Good to hear you both.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Pam, again. And this is going to be a great night. And like you said last time, it's kind of only fitting that we that the autism awareness for the month got split up into two shows, early and late. You know, so should be another fantastic night.
I think so. It's funny, Pam. I was stuck in the airport yesterday, and I was thinking about how the first time I asked which airport I was in, you were the one who guessed it, and I was like, 100 AP points to the person who can tell me which airport I'm in. Pam got it.
Well, you know, okay. So here's the funny confession about that, Daisy, is I couldn't think of any other cities in Canada. I was like, okay, what cities in Canada do I know? And that was the only one I could think of.
Well, it happened that it was true.
Funny.
Well, we're glad that you could make it, Faisies. You had a long drive. You were on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Four planes yesterday, silly because I was just going across Canada, but that, yeah. So now, yes, let's get to the poetry. And our first poem is by Kitty the Naughty Poet. And
awesome.
This is called A Different Perspective. I'm up for learning something new. I just don't like being talked down to. Everyone learns in their own special ways. For people like me, we find it hard to concentrate. We can't react and listen, to be honest. We're usually off in our own little bubble of weirdness. We won't be reading your social cues or reacting how you want us to. Show me again, and please don't shout, as the surrounding distraction messes with my mind. Oh, look, there's a bird and a boy over there, swinging on his chair. Huh? I'm sorry, I did it again. Please repeat your words so my mind can let it sink in. Remember, everyone learns in different ways, and I'm up for being taught something new. So please don't talk to me like I'm something from your shoe. End poem.
Great read of Faziana, and great write, Kitty. Pam, could we start with you on comments?
Oh, absolutely. I really appreciate and enjoy this poem. I feel like each time Kitty gives a poem to a show, we get to know more and more about her. And I've seen her and she says, this is written through the eyes of my ASD child. I think it's absolutely a wonderful thing that she wrote through the eyes of her child. And it's a heartfelt poem. Like there's a lot of heart in it, but it also educates people to the idea that, you know, people with autism on the autism spectrum don't pick up on social cues. They often get easily distracted. And that is ending lines really just speak volumes in the whole idea of, yeah, it doesn't matter if someone's verbal or nonverbal, if they stim or don't stim, you know, they're human, and you need to treat them as such, you know. So just absolutely an amazing write and very well done.
Great point, Pam. Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic write, and from a different perspective, you know, we're usually off in our own little bubble of weirdness. You know, it speaks volumes, you know, and, oh, look, there's a boy over there swinging in a chair. Oh, sorry, I did it again. And just that distractive, kind of train of thought that's kind of all over the place. But yeah, there's nothing worse than kind of being conscious of it and then somebody really talking down to you based on it. So I thought that she captured it very well here. Faziana, what did you think?
I really liked it. I liked the line, we can't react and listen. Because sometimes you have to be focused so much on listening that you can't worry about like how your expression looks or what you're saying in response to something. It really just shows that they're trying to focus. And I never really got that before, but even though I don't have autism, I do have some brain issues, and I find that now sometimes I listen better if I'm not looking someone in the eye, because if I'm looking them in the eye, I'm distracted by, like, the way that they look right then, their expression, all of, like, what I think that they're thinking, whereas if I just, like, close my eyes or, like, look at what they're pointing at, then I can think about what they're saying. And I feel like maybe it's a similar experience for Kitty or Kitty's child, where you can't be giving the response that people want and also focus on what you're trying to learn. Sometimes you have to choose one or the other. And I've never really heard that explained before the way it is here, so I think that she did a great job at expressing that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being in your own little bubble of weirdness. I embrace the weird. I think this is really nice, and the ending, like Pam pointed out, is so powerful, because nobody should be treated like something from your shoe, and remembering that everyone is human and feeling things is so important.
I agree, Faziana. Great comment. Where are we heading to next?
So now we have one called A Rain Child, My Son, by Uma71. And Pam, why don't you read that one?
All right. There it is. Okay. A Rain Child, My Son, by Uma71. And it goes like this. I have been talking to him for years, talk and tell, explain, make him listen. He is too convinced of voices from within. His eyes come alive when dry leaves crunch under his feet or rains patter on and on. From his widened pupils, he jumps into sound, sails on breeze, holding sky, a blue ballerina in his arms. He waltzes with winds. The dance invariably ends in a frenzied head banging against a wall of words. Sometimes I talk to him without words. His skin puckers under my fingers, rubbing against the carpet he cleanses, the imprints with roughened wool and dirt, and folds himself neatly like an unused rug, avoiding any creases of caress. As I turn away, he squeals. I wait for the rain to raise its curtains. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And Faziana, could we start with you on comments?
I really liked his eyes come alive when dry leaves crunch under his feet or rain patters on and on. You know, sometimes those natural sounds can engage someone even more than speaking can. And I like that it kind of gives you the feel of this person who responds to that sound of nature. And the idea of his pupils widening, like that really shows that it's so important to him. Because like science shows that like when you're attracted to someone, your pupil grows. And it doesn't have to be sexual attraction. It's like if you see something that you want to see more of, then your eyes react. So for the widened pupils, it just shows how excited that is. That's like a chemical reaction of excitement. I really like the line, he waltzes with winds, partly because I'm a sucker for alliteration, but also just the idea of dancing with the wind is just wonderful. And it ends in a frenzied headbanging against the wall of words. There's just something beautiful about that. Again, there's so much enthusiasm in there. I talk to him without words. And I think that's so important of, like, recognizing that there are different forms of communication. and the idea that texture is such a big deal, like rubbing into the carpet, and that just that the feeling of wool or dirt or the different textures that someone can engage in if they have really interesting sensory inputs. I wait for the rain to raise its curtail. So on the one hand, the rain could be, you know, the fact that he's going to be stormy. There's going to possibly be a tantrum. But also, he engages with the natural kind of environment. So he's a rain child, maybe in that he's unpredictable like the weather, but also that he has his ups and downs, and he has that connection. So it's just, it works on multiple levels, and I think that it's a beautiful poem.
Great comment, Afasiana. Yeah, there's just so much sensory, you know, written and woven kind of throughout this poem. You know, the crunching and the sounds and the dancing and the, you know, the wall of words. You know, I've been talking to him for years, talk as in tell and explain him, make him to listen. You know, there's a lot of kids or a lot of people that have autism that just aren't really going to give you the back and forth response. And so, you know, you're just looking for, you know, any kind of cues to that, that you can get that what you said sunk into the, you know, had sunk in. And so, you know, this is the widening of the pupils and stuff, you know, all these different small cues, because she's so in tune with them. I just thought that this was a very strong write and done with just the right amount of metaphor and abstract. So very well done. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I have to agree. This is very well done. It touched my heart. I like how Afasiana commented on the layers within the metaphors of the poem, and that you mentioned that it has just the right amount of abstract. This one, I really liked the way she went into a lot of the sensory seeking, which that's the one of the interesting things about children and people with autism is some are what's called sensory avoiders, and then some are what's called sensory seekers, which is like my son, and the son written about here seems to be a sensory seeker, looking for the dry leaves that crunch, the water to feel, the wind to feel. And the second stanza really reminds me a lot of how, you know, some kids actually need, like, massage. There's this one physical massage you do where you put pressure on the joint area, and that helps to actually balance out their system. They will actually, and it sounds really weird, but it works, because it will take a child who's extremely hyperactive and make them calmer, or a child that is almost too, and I know it's weird, you know, there's not too often this, but there are oftentimes children that are too lethargic, especially on the, you know, the spectrum, and it will help to give them that kind of energy that they need. And that's what the second part reminded me of. It also, because of the title, made me think of the movie Rain Man, which, you know, wonderful movie, one of the all-time best movies. One of the first movies to make people aware of autism on a, you know, a broader scale. The only downfall to it is it gave a lot of people the impression that every person with autism is a savant, and it is really just an extremely small number. That doesn't mean they don't have their gifts. It just
yep.
means they're not necessarily going to be playing classical piano or, you know, counting cards at casinos. So,
yeah.
Because if my son could count cards at casinos, Mama would be rich. That's all I'm saying. No, just kidding. But I think this
yeah.
is just absolutely a beautiful poem. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and I know, and I don't, you know, like you said, it is a little bit weird, but I don't think that it really is, because it there's a lot of people that work like that. I mean, there's a lot of people that do like acupuncture and things like that, right? That that don't have autism, and you know, and so there is something to be said about just the different, you know, quirks of the human body that can, that you know, can get it to react in a certain way. So, great comment and way to point that out. What do we have up next here, Faziana?
We have one called Prenatal Aspie Augmentation Save Me. And will you give that a read, please, Dexter?
Yep, absolutely. All right, this is by Hubashai. Prenatal Aspie Augmentation Save Me. I was an Aspie from my mother's womb. Her neuromolecular recovery combustion affecting and augmenting my neurological wiring long before I became an infantile sexual assault survivor of man's lowest of low projective acts. Having survived every scientific advancement, infantile survivors are given in later adult years my plea to society in earnest, honest, ethical, sincere, and more. Please help younger children find ways to soothe and expand states of neurosensory molecular consciousness. Do not teach them that they are a disease or a defect. They do not deserve that kind of intellectual betrayal. Autistic children are being bullied, committing suicide, and sometimes murdered while living inside of these times of scientific advancements. That just isn't fair. End poem. Pam, could we start with you on comments?
Yes. Well, you know, Hubachai, I have to say, does always to me has a thought-provoking poetry that definitely gives you food for thought. And I guess for me, the most intriguing part, well, I find the beginning, I was an Aspie from my mother's womb. I liked that because it gives thought to me of the idea that, you know, that parents, you know, I don't know, I just, you know, maybe to me it kind of that sense of comfort that's, you know, how you were meant to be. That's how you were meant to be created. That's my own thoughts on that. The other thing is that it gets near the bottom. I think she makes some wonderful points for how children or people with autism should be treated. Do not teach them they are a disease or a defect. They do not deserve that kind of intellectual betrayal. I thought that was a powerful line. But most important of all is when she went into reminding us that autistic children are being bullied, committing suicide. And it's sadly true. I have a friend on Facebook, and she's just a Facebook friend. I've never met her in person. But her son, 5 years ago, hung himself at the age of 12. And he was autistic. And so, you know, it happens, and it's something that makes you really sad. I mean, bullying happens to everyone and anyone practically, but it's a sad thing that oftentimes it pushes autistic children or autistic people to the point of hating themselves and wanting to leave this world. So, you know, I truly appreciate that Hubachai brings up those difficult points that we all need to be aware of. And so very well done.
Great point and great comment. Yeah, she definitely delivers a hard, you know, kind of heavy-hitting, realistic kind of plea to society. And you know, and she talks about scientific advancement, you know, there's things like people, you know, flying to the moon and, you know, all of these different things that are happening, but there's so many people that are being born autistic and, you know, where is the money being funneled into helping scientifically, I guess, people that have autism, and where's the funding going to help them live and survive? And I can only imagine that, you know, many times when somebody has a disability, you know, how difficult it is, kind of equating to a general population. I would imagine that it's very easy to get either mixed up into the wrong crowd, caught in the wrong situation when you're lacking social cues, putting them, you know, that not only committing suicide, but sometimes murdered. You know, if you can't really pick up on, or if you struggle with social cues and you struggle with kind of reading the situation, you could definitely find, maybe misread it when somebody's being very malicious towards you. And so, very, very strong write by Hubishai. Faziana, what did you think?
I really liked the line, "Do not teach them they are disease or defect." And I think that's why language has become such a thing that's emphasized in education and in support of people with autism. Because, like, I have friends who are autistic, and they don't consider it for themselves to be a disability. They consider themselves to think differently, they are, you know, happy and successful people who think differently. And so I try to use the word neurodiverse to show that there, you know, there are differences and different challenges that they face, but that it's not necessarily a defect or disease. You know, I know there's a big spectrum, so for some people it's definitely more of a severe challenge, and other people just get to, you know, adapt and be able to need less support, to, you know, be in the world that's not made for, unfortunately, that's not always so accommodating of people who are different. But I think that when it's saying don't teach them their disease or defect, it's kind of just recognizing that, yes, they may be different or have different ways of thinking, but that doesn't mean that they should have their whole life be defined by something that that we say in a negative light. I'm kind of talking in circles there, but really
no,
what
that,
I'm
no,
saying
that's
is...
All right. The reality is that us as a society need to change. You know, we as a society need to change. It's not they need to change or anything like that, right? I mean, it's we need to do better.
I think that's definitely a good part of it. I like if I may say something.
Yep.
I like that Faziana brought up that it's a spectrum disorder and that it's different for everyone. Because, yes, you know, there are people out there who are, like, you know, high functioning, they're differently abled. The word that you used, Faziana, I'm blanking out. What was it? Diverse, neurodiverse.
Neurodiverse,
you know? Yes. Yes, and it works for them. And, you know, they don't want to change. They just learn differently. But then there's ones that, like my son, who is never going to have a full functioning job. He doesn't communicate. I mean, he is definitely on the more severe. And those are the ones where it's like, if a parent or someone could have the option of saying, yes, you know, I want my son to get better. This, you know, this is an illness my son has. You know, this is, you know, something that is affecting his quality of life. And when I say my son, I mean my son, but I just mean anybody out there with on the autism spectrum where they are on the lower end of the spectrum, you know, because, and I do totally understand and respect, you know, because I too have friends with autism, that there are people who it is, that's the way they are and that's the way they want to be. And I think that's wonderful, but, you know, we just have to remember it's an individual thing. So really well, great comments there to both of you.
Oh, and you're absolutely right, Pam. You know, it's you know, definitely a different quality of life for people who are on different ends of the spectrum. So for sure. I understand for that reason why, you know, there's it's sometimes considered a disability, whereas some people with autism don't want it to be referred that way, and it's because there's such a big range. You know, I'm actually surprised it's one disorder with a giant range that there is. I totally understand what you're saying there. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
I don't think poor Dexter would want to get in the middle of us disagreeing, so it's a good thing we're not.
Well, like you said, tonight, you know, isn't really for that. You know, it's just kind of celebrating the rights anyway, so perfect.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So go ahead, Faziano, bring us to the next one.
I'm trying to find it now. I've lost my place in my reading. One second. Oh, here we go. It's by Flipsider. And here we go. This is At One Time by Flipsider. At one time in the recent past, I looked down on those cursed. Later, the blinding wool was removed from over my eyes. This occurred when my brother was forced to have a part of this mental demise, part of what he had to go through. Now we are more educated about this. Both me and you. End poem.
Great read, Faziana. This is definitely a side to it, you know, going as off of Flipsider. Because I guess there was a time in my life too where I kind of associated almost everybody with, you know, that was disabled, kind of almost in the same boat. And, it is definitely, maybe if I heard the R word, it wasn't like that big of a deal, like that it was used. And now, having worked with so many of these kids, I'm pretty defensive almost over them now. And I can see the folly in my ways. So, you know, from before, and I wouldn't say, and like I said, he said, look down. I guess I don't necessarily know what I really thought, but, I definitely wasn't as conscious as I am now about the entire situation. And so I appreciate the honesty of the right. So very well done. Faziana, what did you think?
I appreciate the honesty as well. And I think it's important for everyone to realize that sometimes the way that you look at things might have been ignorant at some point, and you came to see new perspective, and that's okay. In admitting that we all weren't fully aware of things, or just not as compassionate as we should have been, definitely helps us grow. You know, you can't dig in your feet and, well, I made a mistake once, I better stick by that mistake. I like that Flipsider shows some growth and realizes that things are different. And it seems like it was because of something that his brother went through. And that it's the thing about humans is we tend to end up caring more if it's something that happens to someone who we love. And it's just, it makes us realize the impact on other people even more. So sometimes that has to happen for it to open up our perspective. And I think that recognizing that as we learn, we can be better, better supportive of people, is a really good attitude to have, that we can continue to know more. And he says, both me and you, and the more that everyone gets educated and meets people and learns, it's a good thing. And having that information can stop people from looking down on people who they may have misunderstood in the past. So I think this is a wonderful right, and I do appreciate the honesty, like Dexter said.
Great comment, Afasiana. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, I have to agree with both of you. I even told him that this really, it touched my heart. You know, because to me, it's what so many of us went through as children, you know, and when you grow up and even as young adults, and you don't think about those kind of things, you don't think about necessarily the words you're using or the way you treat people. And to me, this was a beautiful honesty. It was an excellent write on how we can learn and grow as a person, especially when it comes to understanding people's differences. And I liked this all the way through, but, you know, I do really appreciate and like that second stanza with the later the blinding wool was removed from over my eyes. This occurred when my brother was forced to have a part of this mental demise. You know, and like Afasiana, you were saying, you know, oftentimes it has to hit home before it really, you know, means something to us. And I will say, whether, you know, that I personally think oftentimes, and I probably said this before, but I'll say it again because it's worth saying, that siblings of people with autism are often the unsung heroes. I know my other three children were big helps to me at certain times. Not always, but, you know. But the point is that even with their imperfections, even with Flipsider's struggles to accept and understand, and the fact that he had to go through this growing process, you know, he's still, to me, one of those unsung heroes because he was somebody who was willing to learn and to grow. Because, well, to me, I get the impression that he loved his brother. So I just think this is a heartfelt right and very well done.
Yeah, their patience is very admirable. I think to a certain extent, maybe the parents don't have a choice. But siblings, you know, really show their true colors, because they, in a way, they do have a choice, and when they do buy in, and they are helpful, and all of these things that, and they take the time, and you know, are close to them, you know, they do have the option to, if they were to cross their path at school, to look the other way or to do something like that. You know what I mean? And so, siblings, like you said, are definitely an unsung heroes. On to the next one here, Afasiana.
The next one is by Orange Sage. And Pam, would you like to read that?
I'd be happy to. All right. Read by Orange Sage. And it goes like this. 49 jelly beans lined up on the table, and you could not take one as they were green or pink or purple or white. No matter how much I encouraged, you would not take one until I reached into the bag and found you a red one. And with that, the sun burst onto your face, and you put the red jelly bean straight into your mouth and held out your hand for another one. Red and poem.
Great read, Pam. And Faziano, why don't you start with comments?
I like the details of this. It's very specific as to a behavior that maybe someone who they loved who had autism was doing with sorting the jelly beans by color. And I like that it's like lined up on the table. So it's showing specific behavior, specific preference. And then it shows the kindness of helping find that red one, that missing one that they needed to make it 50, and then they could enjoy them. I think that the way that it's split up works nicely, like straight into your mouth, being very short lines, because it creates that pause and that emphasis of, I'm thinking like straight, and you picture it flying in there, into your mouth, and then the mouth shuts, and held out your hand. It's like each line is its own small action in, I'm picturing it almost comic book style. It's a frame within what's happening. I thought that the breaks were really good for that. And I like that red was in all caps a couple of times, because the red was clearly important to this person. And it emphasizes how the color made an impact. So I really like the details.
Great comment, Faziana. Yeah, I thought that was also fantastic, too. And it really kind of shows the, you know, a lot of times somebody with autism likes what they like, and there really isn't swaying that opinion. You could line up as many other colors as you'd like. If they like the red ones, then that's the end of the discussion. They like the red ones, you know, and so you better dig for the other ones, you know. And so I just thought that was a perfect job at simply capturing that. But in a simple way, it captures that, but it also says a lot about the disorder. So very well done. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I had to chuckle a little bit when you said if they don't want something, that's the end of the discussion, because, yep, I've been through that. And this is wonderful. I really like the way Faye, and I have to agree with you, is that you described almost like as each line was a snapshot, a frame, you know, an individual picture. Because, and that is so true. And I really like the way she took a one simple moment, one caring, loving moment, and put so much into it to tell us about not only her child, but also about herself and the minds of many autism parents. You know, I mean, first of all, we got, as mentioned from Faziana, the kindness that's in here, you know, and there's also the acceptance, you know, of accepting your child for who they are. But there's also what I see is because she lines up the different colors, you know, and encourages, you know, him or her to try something different. You know, there's that idea that, you know what, I think this is, to me, it's a good thing. You know your child's going to choose the red jelly bean, but you still offer them options. You never limit them. You never put them in a box. You say, yes, you know, here are the different options you have. And if you want them, that's great. And if you don't want them, that's great too. This is just a really great style of poetry to show that kind of that moment of interaction between mother and child. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Faziano, where would you like us to go next?
Next, we have one by Flower Muse. And I think it's your turn, Dexter.
Okay, perfect. This is by Flower Muse, called Hugo R.C. Let me start at the beginning, when I had a lot to say. Then came the power of anxiety. My words rolled out like clay. It all happened in an instant, though I can't remember when. And I tried so hard to tell you of my sorrow and my pain. Though my brain was speaking clearly, my mouth could not exchange. All the syllables or laughter and the tears, they fell like rain. I could tell you in my writing all the songs that were ever penned, all the writers of the love tunes and the year they came to fame. I can multiply the numbers, just one with a trillion more, and can come up with an answer of 10,000,000,084. I am far from being stupid, though that my frustration has its way, and I can no longer take it, so I long to fade away. Though there are times when I am happy, and that's when I get my way, and have my jelly sandwiches and my gallon of Kool-Aid. Oh, how they tried to change me with shots, pills, and things. And though the doctor's tries with shock, my pride loses its wings. Nothing will ever happen, and I can't express just why. So I guess I keep on dreaming and hope you give me another try. Let tomorrow be a blessing, and please just take me by my hand. Show me that you can love, or show you that you love me. Feed me kind and loving words, and I promise I'll make gentle and not throw an angry fit, scratch the neighbor's cat, or even swear, you big lousy bitch. End of poem. Well, that was a fantastic write. Pam, let's start with you on comments.
Yeah, I have to agree. It is a fantastic write. A big fan of Flower Muse's writing anyways, and this one was just filled with heart. He told me that it was written for his nephew who is 50 and going through life like this. I have to agree that, there are many people who just, beautifully written. I like that he shares this side of himself with us and his life and his love for family. And I like the straightforward style of this, how, he talks about, that there's these struggles inside this man's mind, and he's got these just, obviously, he's got a gift for numbers, and there's a lot that he understands. But there's so much that, is a struggle. And, and they're over the years. Like, he reminds us that, shots, pills, shock. I mean, over the years, there have been so many different kinds of therapies and medications tried. So I like that he brings in the jelly sandwiches and the gallon of Kool-Aid, because, it makes you think about how so oftentimes people on the autism spectrum, they have their things that they really like, and you can see the joy in their face when you get them. And the honesty in that end lines, oh my goodness. That is very relatable. The honesty and just the, sometimes things just slip out of the mouth. I really like this all the way through. So very well done.
Yeah, great comment, Pam. I thought that this just really touched on how unique the mind and how glimpse of how kind of extraordinary and how the mind, just the way that the mind can work. Somebody might be able to multiply numbers, up to a billion or a trillion, or name this movie title, name that love song, when it came out, name this, name that. But they struggle with yesterday, the concept of yesterday, or, you know, sometimes, and this isn't everybody, but they'll struggle with the idea of maybe tomorrow. But numbers and things like this, they can lay out and do it perfectly. But like you said, it all happened in an instant, though I don't remember when. It just seems like there's just so many instances like that that are just so unique. And last week might be a tough concept, but, you know, they might be able to tell you exactly what movies came out in 1932 or something. But so anyway, it's just a fantastic write and very well done. Faziana, what did you think?
I love the part that said, though my brain was speaking clearly, my mouth could not exchange all the syllables or laughter. That I connect with so deeply. I mean, that's basically like aphasia, which is what my name comes from. I know there's a different circumstance, but that idea of like, in your head, it makes sense. It's just sometimes you're not capable of getting it from your head to the people who you're trying to communicate with. And there's that disconnect between the brain and the mouth. And, you know, you have the concepts, but the syllables just don't want to cooperate. And then it says, I can tell you in my writing. So sometimes different formats are easier for people. I feel the same. Writing, I can express myself much better than orally. And that idea that, you know, there are different elements that they are good at, like the math, which is definitely not me, but I appreciate that ability to do lots of math. And yet, like you said, there are those simple concepts that maybe they can't quite grasp. So what seems simple to one person is not to another. And I think it was Einstein who said the thing of, like, it might have been Da Vinci, actually. Someone said something about how a fish would not be very successful, you know, climbing a tree, and a bird would not win. I can't remember now, but it was something about like how different animals thrive in different environments and different people thrive in different ways, and how you can't always, you know, put your thoughts together like I'm not right now. So I just thought this was really great at exploring that concept. And it has some really nice rhyming. It's not rhyming all the time, like in a way that feels like Dr. Seuss-y. It has little bits where it helps emphasize certain points. And it had a really nice cadence to it, so I think they paid attention to the meter.
Great comment, Faith.
The next poem is by Pink Lilies. And here we go. I Have Gone Through by Pink Lilies. Very well remember the day when school called my mom. Your daughter is different. She needs special education. I was just 5. Had no idea what that was all about. My loving mother hugged me tightly and cried. I could feel that she was deeply shattered inside. My small little world went upside down, and Mom had to do a lot of runaround. She took me to doctors, therapists. Some labeled me, some were modest. Some prescribed pills, some ran tests on my brain. I failed to apprehend what they wanted to attain. As a child, I have gone through a lot than I deserved. They bullied me even in college, spoke absurd, endured the pain, ignored comments, and moved on. My pillar of strength, my mother, stood by me. Despite my shortcomings, she never gave up on me. Her unconditional love has been my support. She cared for me, and her innocence I adore. My journey has been tough, gone through patches that were rough. Have no regrets, but God's been kind to send his best angel on earth. Love you, Mom. End poem.
Wow, what a fantastic write. And this is just such an a powerful and strong story of success. And this is so perfect for the Autism Awareness Month show, because people so automatically associate somebody with, you know, disabilities as being somebody that can't. But this person talks about that they went through the doctors and all this kind of stuff, that, but even brings up being in college and overcoming all of these obstacles and overcoming way more obstacles than what the normal person could and still achieving. And this person is also somebody that acknowledges their mom as being their pillar and has, you know, that awareness of the importance of that relationship. And so this is what Pam brought up. If you know what one person with autism, you know, one person with autism, this right really gives us the full, I guess you could say, spectrum of what is possible. And so I thought that this is a fantastic write. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, absolutely. This is a fantastic write. I like that we got this write from someone from their perspective who's on the autism spectrum and the ups and downs of it. First of all, it's a wonderful, heartfelt tribute to her mother, her mother's strength, the love that her mother gave her. And it's also a story, it's a write about her personal convictions, her personal ups and downs and trials of life, and her personal accomplishments, her victories, you know, getting through college, you know, learning to love and accept herself. And she another one that brings up the bullying that is an unfortunate part of, you know, so many people's lives. And I really like this all the way through. But I like that Standard says, as a child, I've gone through a lot. And then my journey has been tough, gone through patches that were rough. And just absolutely a heartfelt write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Faziana, what did you
I really liked the emphasis on the love with the mother and that connection. I think a lot of people don't appreciate their family, and someone who has challenges that they need to face, I feel like has sometimes a stronger bond to their family. And you know, even though it can be definitely hard on families as well, sometimes it seems like it going through things together can bring you together. And this sounds like a wonderful mother who, you know, was there for their child, and the child is very loving and appreciative, and that's beautiful to see. And like you said, Dex, is talking about college. So it seems like a success story of someone who overcame all the challenges. I like that it talks about the memory of a specific day and how that can just make you feel like everything's turned upside down, and how that sticks with you, and remembering that the mother looked shattered. So it's acknowledging how the family is impacted as well, and I think that this is a really compassionate and empathetic piece that really connects with how family is so important.
Great comment, Faziana. And where are we heading to next?
Our Is somebody on mute?
Yeah, I don't know. Did Faziana hear me? Where are we heading to next?
I'm sorry. I was on mute. the next one is Best Straw Bonnet by Sonia 3902. And Pam, would you give that one a read for us?
Absolutely. Best Straw Bonnet. On an 8x10 glossy, you are wearing your straw bonnet, smiling with the afternoon sun. Secret thoughts are locked away within your brain, giving a lifetime sentence by a disability which is the keeper of the key, unwilling to unlock the prison door that frees you from the silence of nothingness. Your eyes, the color of blue forget-me-not, stare at the world hollowed from drugs, controlling years of seizures. Your smile is your voice, expressing a few minutes of peace. End poem.
Wow, what a fantastic write. Faziana, can we start with you on comments?
Oh, I love that ending. Your smile is your voice, expressing a few minutes of peace. Especially the smile is your voice. Sometimes the facial expression can be the voice of someone who doesn't, you know, have the ability to communicate with words. The part that really made me sad was hollowed from drugs, but I think that that word hollowed is such a key in this piece, because the idea of like having you know, the light in you, the so much of you taken away from the experience of the medication, it just makes me think of like a jack-o'-lantern where you've taken out all the guts and you're missing such a key part of the pumpkin. Hollowed, it's just, I don't know, I'm haunted by that line. That it describes at first like an 8x10 glossy. So it's talking about like how this picture is what the person has to connect with. So looking at that picture, remembering her daughter, and trying to think about the daughter based on that image. It's a powerful, powerful piece, and the smile of your voice is definitely my favorite part.
Great comment, Faziana. Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, this one is one that's worth hearing again. I mean, you know, first of all, it just breaks my heart, and, you know, my heart goes out to her and for the loss of her daughter. There's so much just, you know, it touches your heart, it pulls at you, and just, I think for me, like, I really relate to the imagery within, where Faziana brought out that word, the use of the word hollowed from drugs, controlling years of seizures. But, you know, and that is, like, I don't know how old her daughter would have been, but I'm guessing probably around my age, give or take 10 years, or 20, I could be wrong. But the thing is because, like, back in the 1980s, they have so much better, because, you know, with my seizures, the medication I'm on now is so much better than the medication I was on as a child. As a child, between, you know, in order to control the seizures, I would be on like the stuff that just pretty much knocked you out. And so I understand how that is, that part of it. And it's interesting because oftentimes autism does come with other, burdens or, you know, whatever the word is you'd want to use, like, you know, seizures and ADHD and just, you know, there's a lot of struggles that they go through. But I like how, and I think to me the most tender moment of this is when she mentions her eyes. I think that is just absolutely beautiful, and it's very well done.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. You know, she really expresses such a heartfelt poem through her writing here. You know, secret thoughts locked away in your mind. You know, it captures so perfectly, you know, being able to see, and you kind of know a little bit what that person is thinking, a little bit what they're going through by their facial expressions. But there's so many secrets that you just wish you could hear them expressed. And hollowed, like people, both of you have touched on, the hollowed from drugs, controlling the seizures. You know, it's how much is taken away from us by being put into a world that you know, supposedly we're different, you know, somebody's different, and, you know, maybe has this issue or has this, and the give and take of it all. This is just such a heartfelt piece. This is does a lot in such a short amount of writing. So yeah, like you said, Pam, heart goes out to Sonia, it with such a beautiful piece, though. It leaves you almost speechless. Faziana, it looks like you have the next one up for us.
Yes, I'll give this one a read. Mask of Lies by Ilix Ader. Insanity. Embraced my fractured crown in comforting folds. A warm bed filled with the feathers of loons that my young self discovered after far too long trying to fit a circle within the diamond-shaped confines, making up the neurotypical. Ages of youth wasted, striving to become masked in normality as an arbitrary standard of being correctly human. Merge a forest into an urban background, blend in enough to disappear and be forgotten by the uncaring masses. When that's failed, comfort was found within the waiting arms of madness, an easy explanation for an entire body being shaped so tragically wrong. It took another half decade before I knew the first words skimming the surface of what I am. And the path is still ongoing before I discover what I can be. But I've learned how to wear most of my colors without hiding them behind a wall composed of perfectly normal lies. Perhaps one day I'll know how to don the rest. End poem.
Awesome piece and awesome reading also of Faziana. Let's go with Pam. What did you think about this one?
This poem really impressed me. The main message of it to me is, and I think it's a powerful message, and is what learning to embrace, accept, and love your true self, you know. And what I like about this poem is that it reminds us of the importance of a diagnosis, you know, because getting a diagnosis can be a scary thing, but it can also lift that weight off your shoulder, you know, and then to learn about yourself. And I really like the use of imagery and metaphors in here. Trying to fit a circle within the diamond-shaped confines, making up the neurotypical, merge a forest into an urban background, blend in enough to disappear and be forgotten by the uncaring masses. And when that failed, comfort was found within the waiting arms of madness. You know, Ilix shows us that, you know, oftentimes people struggle for years trying to understand yourself, and it's an ongoing process. And I like that, you know, they put in here, but I've learned how to wear most of my colors without hiding them behind a wall compose a perfectly normal life. Perhaps one day I'll know how to don the rest. And I love that ending because it isn't something that happens overnight. It's a process. Beautifully written and very well done.
Great, great comment, Pam. And I'm so so happy that, you know, Elix opened up the way that they did, because it also explains so much as a reader that has been a big fan of everything that I've read by them. And everything that they submitted, it just says so much more. You know, it makes me appreciate more. It also explains some things. I don't know. I'm just speechless at how kind of profound this write is. And as somebody that has kind of followed them, or, you know, has read a good amount of their work or their rights, you know, that they obviously have submitted and on different shows. I mean, Elix has been a very contributing member on Late Night Poets. It's just really kind of refreshing to understand them at a deeper level. And so I just thought that this was a very, very good write. Faziana, what did you think?
I agree with you both. I'm a big fan of Elix's work. I've probably read most things that they've posted on AP and loved it all. And I think Pam made some wonderful comments. I too liked the metaphor of fitting the circle within the diamond-shaped confines. And I really liked the section that said, striving to become masked in normality as an arbitrary standard of being correctly human, that idea that we have to be a certain way, and then feeling like you don't fit into that. And I liked the uncaring masses, because I think the phrase is usually the unwashed masses or something like that, and the uncaring masses is a sad truth of... if you don't stand out too much, then you're kind of like overlooked by the uncaring masses rather than bullied, but you also aren't really accepted by them either. I liked the comfort in the waiting arms of madness. I relate to that one. Oh, those comforting arms of madness. Sometimes you just want to give into it. I really liked how at the end the lines change form. So like at the beginning it was a little bit more like short line, long line, short line, long line. There was a structure to it, and then when they are talking about not having to conform anymore, the shape of it changes. It starts to look rounded. And I feel like that's like the emphasis of like not being forced to straighten out into the shape that they're supposed to be, or that they feel like they're supposed to be. And I love that part that Pam pointed out, but I've learned how to wear most of my colors without hiding them behind a wall composed of perfectly normal lies. Perhaps one day I'll know how to don the rest. Like, that gave me goosebumps. I love that so much. And I'm going to read the AN because I think that it gives more context to all of this, and I just think it's a wonderful share. It says, when I was in eighth grade, I wasn't in any classes with my one friend and was forced to socialize with the rest of humanity through school. I didn't merge well and decided the easiest answer was I was simply crazy. It wasn't until college that I was diagnosed with autism, and longer until I figured out that I was asexual and non-binary. I'm still a bit nuts, but at least I have more words to know why. I thought that was great, so thank you so much for sharing, Ilix. And I actually have several close friends who have autism, and they are non-binary. And they expressed this, too, where they didn't figure it out until later in life. And then once they had the words for it, they were so happy that, like, they felt like they understood themselves on a whole new level and were able to express it. So I don't know. I felt very connected to this, and thank you so much for sharing with us.
Yeah, and I agree, too, because I think that was important because, and I apologize on so many previous episodes on trying to say he or she and things like that. So I'm glad that now I know, you know, how to properly kind of refer, or if they'd like they or them, or, you know, things like that. So I appreciate that, Ilix.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to know what pronoun to use when we're on a site like this where the username is ambiguous, and we end up using we misgender, and that is never intentional. So if I'm ever saying the wrong pronoun, please let me know, and I will try to correct that in the future.
My youngest child is gender fluid, and I still struggle, and God bless her. She's so patient, or them, they're so patient with me. And because I joke around one time, and I said, you know what, I'm just done with this confusion. I'm Vermont. I'm going to call you the fruit of my womb. And they were like, mother, no, mother. What do you call me? Do not call
exactly.
me the fruit of your womb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not gender specific, so.
It's not, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I already forget it. There was a really cool word for niece or nephew if it's ambiguous. It's like Nephilim or something. It sounded Elvish to me. I was like, oh, I'm just always going to say that.
That is really cool.
Our next poem is by Mam Ya. And I think it's your turn to read, Pam.
All right. She is the Flower of Light by Mam Ya, and it goes like this. She barely speaks, preferring the company of her colored blocks under the watchful eye of her aging grandfather. But she loves her books and her Peppa Pig shows, as well as her makeshift drums. At 4 turning 5, she is my brother's light. She likes splashing on the inflatable pool, jumping on puddles under the rain, laughing without words. Her name is Sarish Iftin, the Flower of Light, daughter of Allah. She is our dear beloved child of light and love. End poem.
Wow, what a great read and great write, Mam Ya. Faziana, can we start with you on comments?
There's such a flowing beauty to this. It has this light feeling. Like, I feel like I want to read it in a garden. I don't know why, I just make that connection. Her name is Sarish Iftin, the Flower of Light. I think that's such a beautiful name. And to describe it as the Flower of Light is wonderful. The details of the colored blocks and, you know, her favorite show, the Peppa Pig, and the things that matter to her. I like the splashing part and the jumping on puddles and laughing without words. And I don't think there's anything wrong with laughing without words. As much as I'm a lover of words, I think sometimes laughter expresses so much. And there are so many different kinds of laughter. And the way that it sounds can express, like, what kind of joy is in there. I like that it's under the watchful eye of her aging grandfather. This just has a beauty to the whole thing. It really flows nicely. And, Mamia, thank you so much for sharing. I think it's beautiful.
Great comment, Ephesiana. You know, there's just so much to be said about this one. And my niece was diagnosed with ASD about a couple of years ago. She barely talks, but at least now she looks directly at anyone who calls her name. My mother and father help take care of her, as both her parents work. They also bring her to OT, occupational therapy, twice a week for therapy. I'm just glad that they give me updates on her progress. She likes splashing on the inflatable pools, jumping on puddles under the rain, laughing without words. You know, so much of it is just something about a comfort level. And, you know, people with autism have, they might not talk, but, you know, it says a lot when you could just tell when they're at least comfortable around you and when they're not. You know, a kid at my job just the other day that does have autism, and I don't even know her name, but she came running out of the school the other day, and to throw her, she had a bag full of paper airplanes that she had made, and she threw one and it went right into the wind and blew back. And then she looked over and seen that I was sitting there, and she took off running into the school. And we had never really talked, but I went in there and I told her to come back out and to throw them into the wind. And she came back out and started smiling and throwing them into the wind. Just to know that I was not somebody that was like a bad person. And then I kind of gave her, you know, permission, you know, and it's just being around people that are understanding, that are allowing them to be themselves, can make big strides. And, you know, this girl might not ever say a word, but the big strides and the smile and being able to act freely is such a big thing. Pam, what do you think?
Oh, this is a wonderful write all the way through. It's beautiful. It's heartfelt. I like how she describes her niece, little details like her favorite shows, her makeshift drums. I think the most important parts of this write are when she mentions under the watchful eye of her aging grandfather, because here we have a write about a family that works together to care for this child, to support this child and love this child. And I also like that she brings up her name. Her name is Sarishitkin Iftin, and I apologize if I'm pronouncing it wrong, the flower of light, daughter of Allah. You know, I honestly think nowadays people don't give enough thought to names and the meanings behind them, you know, and what a blessing it is to have a name, you know, and that speaks, you know, volumes. And, you know, I just find this so tender and so loving and beautiful all the way through, and very well done.
Great comment. What do we have next here, Fazia?
Now we have one called Lift Up Jamel, grandson number 2. Would you read that for us, Dexter?
Absolutely. This is by Heartthrob. It's called Lift Up Jamel, grandson number 2. With an unsuspecting nature, born into the world, unaware of what's happening, discover boys and girls. The signs and symptoms, dubious somehow, an unclear demeanor, goes undetected till now. Communication delays, repetitive behaviors. On a scale from 1 to 10, the higher numbers are major. My grandson was 3 before anyone noticed. Some children are slower than others. no one keen enough to focus. Acceptance is key when blocked by a wall. Professional assistance is needed to possibly help at all. I'd gladly take his place to give him a normal life, protect my daughter from the stressors that become overnight. Still, I commit him God, and he knows the reason why. The child affected with this mess, he works in mysteries, his style. Lean not to your understanding. There's no logic to show the true nature of his call. Of this calling is meant for whom to grow. I'll pray for my grandson. Most important things to do. For the rest is up to God. My grace and mercy, he be renewed. End poem. And Faziana, why don't we start with you on comment?
Well, I have to start by saying that the picture is one of the most beautiful children I've ever seen. Absolutely adorable child. I imagine that is Jamel, the grandson. And looks like a very happy young boy. I'm hoping that there is happiness despite any challenges that he is facing. Because that smile is just killer. I think that the acceptance part is good at recognizing that, you know, help will be needed. And it seems like the family will be there to support, you know, the mother, the grandmother. There's just this love that is very clear. That's really what's beautiful to see, is that there's this love for the grandson. And, you know, the challenge that, you know, it wasn't noticed right away, because usually, you know, it's hard to tell at first. It depends on where you are in the spectrum. But, you know, around three, when you're normally seeing more talking and development, is when you catch on to if there are any differences. So it makes sense. This is a familiar story, but such a beautiful grandson and loving family, and that's what I think the love will be what matters.
Great comment, Faziana. And I apologize, Heartthrob, about missing the SoundCloud. We would have played the SoundCloud. I would encourage anybody out there listening or anybody reading to give the SoundCloud a listen to after the show. But I agree with you, Faziano. What a cute picture of the young boy. And you know, so many other people have different ways of coping with, you know, the family around has different ways of coping. And so many times when challenges are thrown our way, you know, we question why and how and, you know, what made this happen or things like that. And so not being religious myself, but I can completely appreciate the fact that it's healthy for some to just kind of to accept and chalk the rest up to a higher power. And I think that's what this person does here. So very well done. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I have to agree with you. For some people, the faith is very important to them and helps them through the ups and downs in life. And oh my goodness, this such a beautiful little boy. What a happy little smile. And what I really like about this whole poem is that you can feel the love that Heartthrob has, not only for his grandson, but also for his daughter, for the understanding that, you know, for a mother raising a special needs child is an emotional and mental and physical struggle that they go through on a daily basis. And so there's this understanding, you know, this love. And I do like that he mentions that, you know, sometimes people don't notice right away, or you notice and there's other reasons. I know my son, when he's around two and started showing symptoms of autism, we had to get his hearing checked because there's a lot of symptoms between autism and hearing impaired children. And so oftentimes, you know, that answers don't always come right away. So just a beautiful write and very well done.
Good comment, Pam. And Faziana, why don't you take us to where we're heading to next?
Okay, now we are on Mosaic by Dorothy Eleanor. And I've sort of lost track, but I think it's my turn, so I'm just going to read. Mosaic by Dorothy Eleanor. Shake the mosaic, jostle the piece of me, not yet cemented in place. Turn them over. One side pristine, the other scratched and scored. Handle them gently. We learned whole pieces can become parts through negligence or force. Mind the edges. Not all are smooth. Some are liable to draw blood. Keep in mind the whole picture when you place them. A beautiful piece might not fit the whole. The whole might not fit the piece. Don't draw too much attention to one area. Don't let it be dull. Don't let me be dull. Shake the mosaic. End poem.
Great read of Faziana, and very interesting and unique write here by Dorothy. And I think that this just falls in perfectly about how everybody being different. You know, sometimes it can be smooth. Other times it can be very violent or maybe liable to draw blood. Keep in mind the whole picture. View them for the entire, you know, don't, I feel like that whole thing is kind of don't judge them off of one instant. They have to be judged on everything as a whole, because it's so easy to, you know, have, if they have one, if somebody with autism maybe has one meltdown, it's so easy to maybe hold that instance in such high regard, maybe hold it against them when that's really an unfair judgment or classification of who they are as a whole. I just thought that this was a very intelligent write and just very well done. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, there was an intelligence to this. I like the extended metaphor of the mosaic of the different parts. It made me think of how the puzzle pieces that represent autism and how autism itself is a puzzle to put together. But it does, as you mentioned, Dexter, focus on the idea of how you can't judge a person by one experience or by one brief meeting. And, you know, there's just so many, you know, different perspectives to look at. And, you know, that the idea that the spectrum is so broad and so beautiful in various ways. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Faziana, you got to read it. What do you think?
I really liked the metaphor, and I liked how it was broken down. So it had like an action, and then it talks about what that can mean. Shake the mosaic, turn them over, handle them gently, mind the edges. It gives orders, but then it kind of talks about what that, you know, entails, and learning that pieces can become parts. If you don't take care of it, then those pieces can become even harder to make fit in. You have to handle it gently to get them going. But I think the main picture thing is, look at the whole person, not one aspect of them, not that one thing that is a challenge for them, or not that one instance, like you were saying, that people are complex. We're not two-dimensional characters in a story. It's not just like, and this is the kid with autism. No, that kid has a whole personality and life and so many other traits that are a part of who they are. And that mosaic is not just, you know, monochromatic. There's so much to it. And some pieces might be sharp and not, you know, easy to handle, but there's going to be a beauty in the way that everything's put together. So I think this is a beautiful, beautiful metaphor.
I agree.
Now, Pam, would you please read the poem by S.M. Pierce, which is loading. Thank you. My computer is being super slow. Dex, I might have to get you to post it.
Okay, not a problem here. Hold on. All right. This is Counterclockwise by Sydney Pierce. And there it is.
All right. Counterclockwise by Sydney Pierce. And it goes like this. They tell me I'm different and I'm inclined to agree. Constant overstimulation, a fighting brain and me. Counterclockwise mind and an abject heart make up this body a work of art. Don't fear the disingenuous. Don't take it so literally. If they try and be like us, your brain will thank you dearly. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And Faziana, could we start with you on comments?
Actually, can you skip me because my internet's still loading? I haven't got to see the poem yet.
Not a problem. I think that this was such a great brevity. And, you know, to use the metaphor of counterclockwise, you know, you're just wired a little bit maybe opposite. It still doesn't mean that it doesn't count. It still doesn't mean that it doesn't keep time or whatever. It's just going, you know, opposite. Constant overstimulating a fighting brain and me. You know, you're overstimulated and you're fighting it because it's the world trying to rewire you to think a certain way or to behave a certain way when your way isn't necessarily wrong. It's just going the other direction of what the norm is. So they tell you that you're different. I just thought that this was a very strong brevity and just very well done. Pam, you got to read it.
Yes, and I thought, too, that it was a strong brevity. I really liked the use of the phrase counterclockwise mind and an abject heart. Also, the constant overstimulation of fighting brain and me. You know, it reminds us of the constant struggles that, especially in a world that there is so much stimulation coming at you at once, how overwhelming and what an inner struggle it can be for somebody on the spectrum. I also like that, you know, to me, those end lines have a bite to them. And it's a reminder that, you know, we shouldn't be trying to shove people into a box and expect them to stay there. This is another great write to me about learning to love and accept yourself and to not be willing to be pushed down into somebody's box. So very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Aphasiana, were you able to read it?
Yes, I got it now. Thank you. I agree with you, Dexter, about the counterclockwise part. I love that. That's such a cool comparison, and it just, yeah, I love that line. And Pam, I like what you had to say there about the ending and the reminder of not trying to make everyone fit in and be like. I was going to say us, but really I don't really consider myself neurotypical. To fit, I really liked the idea of overstimulation being a fight. So, you know, agreeing I'm different, but recognizing that it can, in a way, be a work of art. I like that, make up this body a work of art, that sometimes having everything a little bit backwards can be interesting, and as much as it's difficult, isn't always a terrible thing. But I think that it's important to recognize that we can't just like say, oh, you know, if you don't take it literally, if you don't do this, then it'll be fine. I've had people say that about my overstimulation because I'm very sensitive to, sensory everything. They're like, oh, all you have to do is meditate. And I'm like, telling someone with my broken brain to meditate is like telling someone with broken legs to go jog to feel better. I'm like, it doesn't really work. So I think that this is very thought-provoking. It's brief, but it hits powerfully, and I just love the counterclockwise mind. I think that could be expanded on, and I love that it's the title. Okay. Now, where were we? Dex, I may have to get you to post because I'm still going in slow motion over here.
Yeah, not a problem. Okay. Who's up for a read, though?
Ooh, I think if Pam did, then it's your turn.
Says, that poem was deleted. Okay, so we have this one. That'd be too easy here. There is one with a SoundCloud. Did we not have that loaded?
I did not receive any SoundClouds. I'm sorry. I was traveling till 2 a.m.
Oh, so from the previous.
Hi.
Yeah, that was on me. So here, I'm going to post this one. I will give this one a read. This is Derek Nielsen speaking with autism. I try to speak, but the words don't come. They get stuck in my throat like a rock. I want to tell you that I'm not broken. I'm just different. My brain is wired differently. I see the world in a different way. And sometimes it's hard for me to find the right words to say. But I'm trying. I'm really trying. And even though it might not seem like it, I understand more than you know. Please don't give up on me, and I'm doing the best that I can. And even though autism might make me seem distant, I'm still here. I'm still present. And I feel everything just as deeply as you do. End poem. This was a add-on. It, somebody posted this, somebody that's a member of the group here at Late Night Poets. Faziana, what did you think about that, right?
I love it. I really like the ending. I'm still here. I'm still present, and I feel everything just as deeply as you do. I feel that so deeply, that sometimes when you're a little different or if you're not able to communicate, people act like you're not even there. They'll talk about you instead of to you. They just, you're kind of set in the background, like you're not really a part of things. And that can be so difficult, because just because you're different doesn't mean that you're not, you know, a part of things. I remember feeling that after my surgery. People thought I was kind of, you know, not quite there, which I wasn't. You know, I was not fully myself, but still, I could hear things, I could see things, and they would talk about me like they were sad, like I was gone, and I was like, I'm still here, but, you know, I couldn't actually say that, so I can just imagine being like that your whole life, because I only had to have it for a couple of months, but to feel like that your entire life, where people don't recognize that you're there and experiencing things, and it's just, it's absolutely heartbreaking. You know, so raw and true. It feels very honest. So thank you so much, Derek, for sharing.
I agree. And Pam, you're back. Did you get a chance to hear that one?
I didn't get to hear it, but I got to read it. And I had read it before. I thought this was an amazing brevity. I like how it has that straightforward style, and it says so much. And I like how he speaks about what it's like to be so aware that you're different and to want to communicate and not be able to, and to just, you know, you know, just to have people treat you like you're just, like, as was mentioned, not even, you know, in the room. I actually, a similar experience of Aviana with my oldest child, went on some antidepressants and had the reaction of getting Tourette's, like, permanently, but it was like a reaction to the medication. With the twitching and the bursting out swearing. And so we had to take her into the emergency room. And it was so different because there were people there who even knew my child, because we grew up, we're in a small town. People know people. And it was just the difference,
right,
between how he was treated when, you know, wasn't any problems, and then all of a sudden going in, and it was just, yeah, I mean, it's a world of difference of how people oftentimes treat people when they think that not communicating correctly means just not being there. And so this was just definitely a powerful and heartfelt write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Yeah, I thought that this one was fantastic as well. All right, and the next one that we have here, if Faziana, I could get you to read this. This is by Jasper, and there's an audio, and I apologize we didn't get this loaded, but in honor of the night, I'd like to get it read. So, Faziana, if you could give that a read for us, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Autism by Jasper Ann. A seed embarking on an evocative, ethereal journey through the essence of winter, sleeping with autumn, under the warm blanket of rustled leaves, and chilly winds singing lullaby. Breathe on the mortal, tangy scents that flow within his zephyr, whipping with tender hands a curled wisp of cloud, titillating on the roof, floating through a gentle breeze, blown between his heartbeats. His words are like a stream, moon reflected on water. The moon doesn't get wet, but causes dwindling ripples in stream, its peace fluttering out. He fills the dim lives with autumn moonlight, lost snow of my childhood, embracing poet to poet, lying naked in the green fields, promising the words to flourish into a poem. End poem.
Great read, Afasiana. And Pam, could we start with you?
Yes, that was a wonderful read there, Afasiana. I really like Jess Wren's use of metaphors and imagery, especially nature imagery. And to me, there was something about this that touched on the whole idea of the growth and the magic that happens within the autism mind. I liked that he opens up with a seed embarking on an evocative, ethereal journey. And where it says, the moon doesn't get wet but causes dwindling ripples and stream, its peace fluttering out. You know, something about that reminds me of the movement of you know, people with autism that sometimes like stim or spin in circles. But it also makes me think about, you know, how while some people want to, you know, children with autism or people with autism love touching water, some can't. You know, it just doesn't feel right to them. You know, and I love this because to me it's really about growth and giving somebody with autism the opportunity to grow and flourish. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, great comment. You know, Jasker and they deliver the feeling of autism in very, it's such a manner that is poetic and a little bit abstract, but in uses metaphors in which that somebody that does not have autism could maybe better understand this person's experience a little bit better, and uses phrasing that is unique, and phrasing though that is very kind of capsizing, and so it really appeals to the reader as far as making them better understand the experience of it all for this person. So I thought that she does a very good job of that. Faziana, what did you think?
I liked the nature imagery so much. Sleeping with autumn under the warm blanket of rustled leaves. I mean, that just sounds appealing to me in general. It's just beautiful. And there's, you know, such wonderful language. Embarking, evocative, ethereal, and as I'm pointing those out, I'm realizing it's an alliteration thing too that I wasn't even connecting. That's why I liked those words, but like just wonderful vocabulary. The tangy sense, embracing different parts of your senses there, thinking about the smell of things, blown between his heartbeats is such a great line. And there's just this flowing feeling to it. I like that the poem is aligned in such a way that it's like it's blowing in the wind, because it starts off left aligned, and then it's more centered, and it ends up going, well, not quite right aligned, but like centered and off to the right, with lines that are in between that are left aligned, like his words are like a stream and he fills the dim lives. Those ones are left aligned. So it creates an image that just, you can see that extra care was put into the formatting of this. I really liked the part that said, the moon doesn't get wet, which is really interesting because, you know, it's on the water. You can see the reflection. The moon's affect the tides, and so it's having an impact on the water, but the moon is not affected by the water that it influences. There's something really interesting about that I hadn't really thought about. So even though when I was reading that, I wasn't particularly thinking about autism, I was just fascinated by this poem and like the many ways that it could mean different things. And it's just absolutely beautiful imagery and very thought-provoking.
Great comment, Aphasiana. And Pam, if I could get you to read the last one for the evening and for the Autism Awareness Celebration, I would appreciate it. The last one by Zeus. It's a really long one.
I see that. I'll get a drink of water afterwards. All right. This is Haiku, The Reflection of Our Sky by Zeus, and it goes like this. The reflection of our sky in a beach girl's glasses, autism, end poem.
Great comment, Pam. Yeah, I thought that this one, you know, it was a haiku. But, you know, it kind of does maybe say a lot as far as maybe the, you know, the reflection and just the way that they see the reflection. Pretty good haiku and definitely an interesting take on the prompt. Pam, what did you think?
Well, yeah, it was a beautifully written haiku. I think that the AN adds more to the poem, and Zeus says, it's my lame attempt for this contest. I don't know much about autism, but I have read somewhere else that an autistic child has in his eyes only dream that he can never make come true. This makes him depressed, overthinker, and too much introvert, leading him to an inability to express his ideas and emotions. Autistics in their childhood are much bullied. Now, I don't know if I agree with all that, but I do say, I have to say that I give my complete respect to Zeus for the honesty in his AN, for entering this contest and saying, you know what, I don't know a lot about autism, but here is some reading I have done. And as far as the haiku goes, I think that that it brings out that idea of how much people who can't communicate verbally communicate with their eyes. So I just beautifully written and very well done.
Well said, Pam. And Faziana, what did you say?
I thought it was interesting because it kind of made me think about perspective, because when you see things through reflections, like sometimes we don't get to see the sky for ourselves. We see a reflection in someone else's sunglasses, and it's different. So, you know, we might only see a peek into what it is like to have autism based on the reflection that we see in those people. Or maybe it's that everyone has different perspectives and that they have their own perspective, that they see the sky in a different way as it is the mirror image in someone's glasses. Sort of like the counterclockwise comment. I think reflections and emphasis on eyes can make us think about perspective. So I think that was a really cool choice for a brevity that just gets you thinking.
Great comment, Aphasiana. Once again, thank you, Pam, for bringing this our way. Do you have anything you would like to say at the end of here?
Well, I just want to say I really appreciate you both very much and this show, and I really appreciate everyone who wrote for it and contributed at their time.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Thank you.
You've been so amazing, and it's really great to have your inspiration and your comments. Thank you, Dexter, for all your work. I've been a slacker this month completely, so thank you so much for handling everything. And thank you, Fill My Eyes, for letting us do this show. Thank you to everybody who wrote, and we will have more contests soon. Actually, I do have a few up, so check out my contests, and we look forward to having you on our future shows.
Take care. Good night, everyone.